Welcome to Sierra Leone Live News Broadcast. First published on July 30, 2001, Sierra Leone Live. By John L. Musa, Rest in Peace. In this four-part article, John L. Musa shows whether or not Francis M. Mina was guilty of treason for the May 23, 1989 coup. Part 1 Prelude to Treason Trial. Konta vs. Mina, The Power Struggle? The Mamo Mina or Konta Mina struggle for power. Various questions have been hitherto raised regarding Dr. Abdoulaye Ousmane Konta's motive in assuming the role of the prosecutor in the treason trial of Mina and others. Let me join in the supposition that one may draw an inference from the totality of circumstances to say that the arrest, trial and execution of Francis Mischek Mina was groundless. Great light may be thrown on the argument under review by first adducing the respective backgrounds of the actors. It is now legend that Mina and Konta were among the preeminent courtiers in Stephen's hegemony. What is uncertain is whether or not their competing interests turned into a querulous rivalry in the Mamo administration, where Mina held two plum portfolios and Konta had none. At trial, rumor was rife in Freetown that Mina, who supported the infringement of the line of succession in the Constitution, to deny S.I. Karoma the presidency in favor of Mamo, was no longer in the good graces of President Mamo. Nay, there is no credible evidence to support this speculation. More than this, had Mina been at odds with President Mamo, the president could easily have dismissed him. The conjecture of a Mina-Konta turf fight for the soul of the APC is a more cogent speculation than a Mamo-Mina quarrel. And if one trusts the Mina-Konta argument, it would seem likely that the ascendancy of Mina in the Mamo administration. The seeming contest for power blew into a flame, the dying embers of a growing animosity in the Mamo administration between the pair of courtiers. Let us further nurture the speculation of the Mina-Konta struggle for power, which I trust has formed the basis of the allegation in many minds. There is good cause to settle on this speculation that Konta, who was once touted as a top contender among Stephen's presumed heirs, found himself on the fringes of power at the close of Stephen's reign. It would seem plausible that Konta dreamed of his hand on the tiller in the ship of state, especially when the notion of S.I. Karoma's poor health fanned the rumor that Stevens would prefer someone else. Master of power politics and connoisseur of Machiavellian measures, Stevens resolved the power struggle among his competing acolytes for his legacy by nominating then Force Commander Brigadier General Joseph Saidu Mamo to succeed him. When the roll was called in Parliament to amend the 1978 one-party constitution to virtually prevent S.I. Karoma from succeeding Stevens, Dr. Konta voted against the bill. The Konta apostasy. How did Konta become a perfidious politician and a small boy in the patronage of Stevens, apart from his student years when he spoke truth to men of power politics? Dr. Konta, heretofore a legal practitioner and university lecturer, was not quite known beyond the frontiers of the groves of academe, until Stevens orchestrated an unopposed candidacy for him in Cambia district. During his student years at Cambridge, he was an outspoken critic of Stevens' axiomatic misrule in Sierra Leone. In taming the outspoken educated class against his administration, Stevens used the carrot and stick stratagem. To ensnare Konta, Stevens dangled the carrot before him, and Konta threw caution to the winds and climbed aboard the supreme berth of the APC. Following his APC style of success at the polls, he was appointed Minister of Foreign Affairs and began his meteoric rise in the APC firmament. He became its North Star and eclipsed other competing rising stars, but Mr. Mina held his own in various cabinet portfolios. Becoming an apostate like Mina, Stephen's court employed two men of equal political taste for clientelism, where they were buffeted with senior cabinet positions. The man called Francis M. Mina. Before delving into the role of the Attorney General in the Mina treason trial, first a word about Mina the politician. We can scarcely know a man such as Mina who unites much villainy with the appearance of the innocence of a serious crime of treason. Francis Mina, the pliant minion of Siaka Stevens, was a man difficult to defend out of the realm of the rule of law, as some of the ablest of Sierra Leonean lawyers, including the Berthin Macaulays, Charles Margai, Solomon Barawa, have done, but lost his neck to the hangman in the small hours of October 7, 1989. Throughout his unhallowed political history, he was in public contempt in the nation and especially in his home district of Pujehan. The role of these lawyers must have been divided by mortal antipathies for Meena the prisoner and Meena the sepulchral politician. His reputation acquired the stamp of obloquy as he became more of the likeness of the Prince of Darkness under Siaka Stevens. Separately and together, they injured the human spirit of Sierra Leoneans. In Pujehan, Meena used his political power with iron pertinacity with the APC warrant to purge political opposition. He indulged in an atrocious freak of abuse of power and authority whenever the whim possessed him because the APC rifles seconded him. There is ample evidence that Meena was responsible for the death of a Pujehan teacher Kamokai among his other detractors in the district. Meena's memory still wears infamy from the banks of the Wanye River and beyond. Accordingly, on his political balance sheet, Francis Meena the politician was a tyrant and a vile wretch, bound in the fetters of the curse of the law and the just odium of his nemesis of Pujehan. On the other hand, he stood accused of a crime he appeared to be innocent of. During his trial, Meena was a sad spectacle to see boarding the Black Maria to his temporary lodging at Pa Demba Road prison amidst hisses. The Weekly West Africa reported that when Meena was lodged at the execrable prison, his victims from Pujehan engaged in howls of rage and ventured in retribution. In short, Meena gave universal offense to his constituents and his rivals in the APC. But on to Francis Meena in the dock and Kanta as his prosecutor. The APC big boy small boy client patronage. But what fueled the presumed feud between Meena and Kanta? In the aftermath of Kanta's negative vote in the amendment of the constitutional grant of succession, we may harbor the notion that Kanta knew he might not become a minister in the Mamo government for his temerity and political heresy. Kanta and Meena had profited immensely from the good graces of Stevens during his big man small boy brand of clientelism years at State House. Stevens led a client-patron administration and small boys of Kanta and Meena's ilk prospered in such a milieu. Mr. Meena, an SLPP turncoat from Pujehan district, was the apple of Siaka Stevens' eye when he left the SLPP and was rewarded with various cabinet portfolios for his apostasy. In the post-Stevens era, Meena prospered more than his competitors. On his political journey, begun in Stevens' auspices, Meena reached the summit of his ambition when President Mamo appointed him to occupy the first vice presidency in the office of Attorney General and Minister of Justice concurrently. Accordingly, Kanta's vote to amend the constitution despoiled him of a big man who would clothe him with the indicia of power such as Stevens did for him. The clash of the small boys. It was then quite settled that the emergence of the Mamo regime was a more generous milieu for Mr. Meena. It was also the herald for Dr. Kanta to become a mere goose egg in the APC. The political legacy of Stevens, starting to unfurl in Mamo's New Order administration, Kanta must have felt a twinge of nerves when he was not picked for Mamo's cabinet. Thus, when Meena was ensconced in the Mamo government as the first vice president, attorney general and minister of justice, Kanta was edged into perdition. With such an auspicious background, let us anticipate the contention that the spectacle of Kanta as prosecutor with Meena in the dock was a watershed for rivalry turned into driving an opponent away from the political scene. Whether or not Dr. Kanta harbored a motive to stop Mr. Meena's stellar rise in the Mamo regime is conjecture we cannot verily prove. But let us examine its well springs. Now, the kernel of the speculation that when Dr. Kanta donned the robe of the prosecutor, he was poised to drive his political rival from the APC. The argument is tenuous, but so was the evidence against Meena for treason. Section 64 of the Constitution of Sierra Leone grants that all offenses prosecuted in the name of the Republic of Sierra Leone shall be at the suit of the Attorney General and Minister of Justice or some other person authorized by him in accordance with any law governing the same, and the Attorney General and Minister of Justice shall have audience in all courts in Sierra Leone except local courts. Thus, Dr. Kanta's warrant to prosecute Meena is clear from the Constitution. While the notion of Prosecutor Kanta is conceded, the political role of Dr. Kanta bearing the impress of the APC as prosecutor caused an alarm in public discussions in Freetown. In the argument below, I would join in the general alarm that Attorney General Konta overreached when he donned the hat of public prosecutor to prefer charges against Mr. Mina, when aka Barber and other members of the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions at the time could have done the job without the appearance of political bias. What do you think? Share your reaction. Thanks for listening to our news broadcast. Is your organization looking for ways to communicate its most important messages to Sierra Leoneans worldwide? Please send us a message using our Contact Us form, and feel free to share this and any other audio on our site on social media channels. Sierra Leone Live, linking Sierra Leoneans around the world since 1999.